Be the right club. Be the right club today. Yes!
Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything different?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the No Laying Up podcast. First ever, first four-manner that we've got with the new, we got some new equipment here.
Got the new rig.
We got the nuclear football here. new mixer here. This is, we are here in Phoenix. We just wrapped a week at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Young Neil, a.k.a. Lil Murchie. On the mic, first ever mic pod for you.
First mic pod, long time listener, first time mic'd up.
Yeah, you don't know what to do with your hands.
Happy to be here. Took the chips away from Tron, so sound quality should be crystal clear.
We got Tronald here.
You should have said presented by the AK Chin Indian community.
That's true. They came up big this week.
That's the name. That's the name of the tournament, the Waste Management Phoenix Open, presented by the AK Chin Indian community.
DJ Pi, got some video editing going on over here. The Super Bowl is on right now.
And Super Bowl's on.
We are bypassing the Super Bowl.
We could care less. It should be the Jags.
Should be the Jags. It's a bit of salt in the wound.
I mean, the Jags would have put up a better fight, that's for sure.
So far, it's 15-3 at the moment. We're not going to do a play-by-play of the Super Bowl. But want to talk about our weekend, really, at the Waste Management Phoenix Open.
Presented by the AK community.
First timer for me, first timer for Neil. Deej, a veteran of the event, how many times?
I think this is probably my fifth time I've been here, fourth or fifth time.
And Tronald?
This was my second, but like a decade apart.
But how much has it changed in the last 10 years?
I was really worried about the corporatization.
That was a big concern
of number
coming
16.
In.
Yeah, Randy was concerned. I was concerned. We were like, hey, do we want to come, you know, try to kind of amplify what's maybe that we don't like here coming? But we actually, it turned out well. I was blown away. The tournament hasn't lost its soul.
I was kind of thinking, like, with how much we've heard discussions of the corporatization of 16, and of course it's changed a ton, that the everyday man was getting shut out. At no point during Saturday did I think that there, like, wasn't enough seating for the
I think they've actually increased the
it
seating.
It looked like it.
I think they have, yeah. It seems like the ball is kind of bouncing back the other way towards adding more public seating and stuff. I mean, I don't know if we have any hard data to support that. It's a very smell test.
The only caveat to that I'd make is adding seats, I'd say, is more structured and there are longer lines. I wouldn't know that because I've never been here, but I got to think that when you put stands in, it prevents people from just walking up to a grassy knoll and sitting down and just kind of, it's a free-for-all.
The lines were serious.
Very serious.
At like 7 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. We'll get to Saturday.
We'll get there. Can you give a quick, Tron, quick shout out to the circumstances you were here under last time, 10 years ago? I'm a big fan of the whole situation.
Randy and I, we had taken a hiatus from our studies at the U.
Sabbatical.
Yeah, sabbatical. Shout out Rory. And headed down, we were actually in Breckenridge, Colorado, kind of ski bumming it for a few months. Decided to head down here. We'd heard good things. So I was still under the age of 21, so I was drinking Two Buck Chuck in the parking lot trying to get as much of a buzz on as possible.
It's a statute of limitations on that.
And we actually just picked up some Two Buck Chuck just to
shout out for Randy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, that was 2006, I believe, 2007, I think, one of those. So, but yeah, it was fantastic. And like, we actually didn't even go to the tournament on Sunday. We went Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It was great. I've been wanting to come back ever since.
Friday, we roll in. We had a little surprise.
Should we talk about who won?
Oh, who did win? we were a lot like
I wasn't watching much of it. I was deep in the edit bay today.
Most people attending the tournament, there was not a Sunday. Today we focused a lot on the golf.
It was relatively serious.
There's not
golf
a lot
watching
of
out there
golf
today.
Watching going on at this golf tournament, as you might imagine. The crowd was like, I think today was the lowest attended day. Wednesday at the practice round, Wednesday had higher attended. It's like the worst hangover day.
Well, it feels like everybody has the Sunday scary.
But even then, it was like 64,000 there today,
yeah,
which is probably insane. A great number for any other tournament for a Sunday.
Incredibly massive number for any other tournament.
It was like packed out there still after Saturday. I mean, I said this, there's no way I'm ever going to doubt their attendance numbers again. I've never seen anything like that.
It sounded like they were relatively well sourced.
Well, I would like to also point out we thought that they counted the cars in the parking lot, which is just not true because everybody gets scans a ticket to get in, so they clearly have a count of who gets in the gate.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's been reported in the past. It's like 3.2 people per car is what it is, and some of the I don't know. I don't know how they still do it, but that
look,
was definitely.
Sully's not here to audit this.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah. Well, I was
just
here
like
to audit.
Say whoever said that. I mean, that seems erroneous.
It's reckless, really.
There's tickets. They scanned me. They know where you are. You're inside the gates.
Well, they knew where you were.
Yeah, you were talking about that. You're kind of in the system.
I mean, wasn't a lot of golf watching going on for me. I was trying to.
Slang merch.
Yeah, you know, the merch star was out there trying to get rid of some t-shirts, and the Scottsdale Police Department didn't feel real good about that. So he asked me to leave.
On how many fronts were you shut down trying to distribute merch this week?
Well, two. So the air cannon was also going to be a no for the tournament.
Not an air cannon, a t-shirt.
T-shirt cannon. Trying to get a t-shirt cannon inside the stadium at 16.
And
it's going to be a no for them.
Once we got the t-shirt cannon, I realized it did look a little hostile, and I think it would have been a liability carrying that around.
Yeah.
So you know, I just had to use the howitzer on my right shoulder to just hawk tease.
A lot of play action.
But yeah, I was able to bounce back after my guy at the Scottsdale PD escorted me off the premises and get back out there. And then we ended up actually...
You weren't on the premises technically.
Well, he told me I was.
That. Allegedly, he was.
He said I was.
Was there gerrymandering going on?
Yeah. Well, a nice older gentleman about 70 years old bought a tee from me.
And as we were doing the
He haggled it down to 10 bucks.
Yeah, he did. I said 20, and he was like, I got 10. I said, sign. Come on, man. Let's go. You know, and we're a small shop. And as we were making the exchange, the cop came up behind me. Not real good. But he said I had to have some kind of permit to sell stuff. I don't know.
Small shop. You know? Small business Sunday.
I didn't see him saying that to the Girl Scouts, by the way.
That's what I was thinking.
Did you tell him that? Well, there was people slanging Girl Scout cookies up there?
No, I didn't get that far.
He's looking the other way. He's probably on the take.
No, I had to take my box of shirts to an undisclosed location.
All right.
Well, then we ended up...
Live to fight another day.
It was a good ending. It was a good ending. We went and dropped them off at the Patriots outpost for...
Birdies for the Brave.
Yeah, Birdies for the Brave.
Which we should have just done to start with.
Yeah, I agree.
But as the merch star, I figured I had to... You know, I got to earn my stripes out there. You know?
Sure.
I mean, what kind of proprietor of apparel would I be if I wasn't hawking it outside a sporting event?
You were Tom Brady-ing out there when during the rush on Saturday morning, just pointing people out.
Saturday was for hucking.
Yeah. Well, let's get to. I want to talk Friday first.
Sunday was for hawking.
Nice little surprise on our flight from Atlanta to Phoenix. Charles Barkley,
the round mound.
It's like
that's terrible, Kenny.
I don't think
that's terrible.
I don't think I've been. And we obviously are around like golfers a lot and kind of see them as famous people. I've never seen what happened to Charles at the Atlanta airport. I've never seen before. First of all, it's like 6 o'clock in the morning. It's what 20 people came up to him within a
in
10
probably
minute
15
span.
Minutes,
just asked him to take pictures, and he was perfect. Like every single one of them. He was heading to Phoenix to pick up his boys, and then they were off to Vegas for the Super Bowl. I've never seen anything like that. That was crazy. But
I like.
Well, how about Stu Sink walking up to him?
That was the only guy that walked up to him that he knew. It was Stuart Sink
he
rolling
called
up.
Stu Sink out.
Chuck and Stu go way back.
And Stu rolls up carrying his TrackMan in the neoprene sleeve.
In the official TrackMan sleeve, yeah.
We got that. We got in Friday. We just want to get a little lay of the land. We didn't see a ton except for first, we're walking by the range. First thing we see, walking by the range.
That's
see,
true.
Only guy out there hitting balls pretty late at night.
Deep in the process.
Deep in the process. Alex Noren. We saw him hit one ball and he shanked it.
Yeah.
He hit a shank.
Legitimate shank.
Sally turned and looked at me. I saw it too. And then I just asked Sally, what's your Noren take?
The case closed. The case closed now. We saw the shank, which
we've seen Tron shank it on command, though. He could have been working on that. Wes Bryan said that means you're an excellent ball striker.
He could have been like
he drags that front shoulder through.
Working on the shank shot shape.
Well, I'll say, so I came out of New York on an American Airlines flight, and it was the land of quarter zips and logos.
There was a lot of,
lots of logos.
A lot of bachelor parties.
A lot of bachelor parties out here this weekend. A lot of bachelor parties on the flight.
A lot of people telling you about their bachelor
party. Loving it, having a hashtag for it. What was it, the glow job, guys?
Yeah, shout out to the glow job.
Shout out to the glow jobs.
And then the Noren Shank was a forewarning for what we would see on Friday night, the 16th hole.
I remember exactly one shot that we saw on Friday afternoon. And that was Ian Poulter shanking it into the grandstands.
And like 16. Coming to rest within the grandstands.
So DJ.
And then not only. to rest. And then someone. And this is when I think 16, like 16, really, I've been there a bunch. Really kind of cemented its place in my heart this week, I think. You know, a la Wrigley Field, someone threw the ball back.
They chanted throw it back. Yeah. And then someone threw it onto the fairway.
Poulter might as well be Henry Rowengardner.
Exactly.
And then the shot tracker said the ball just ended up in the middle of the fairway.
Yeah, it did. It like messed up the shot tracker. Poults, I think I'm ready to kind of say it. I might be coming around on Poults. Like, he laughed about it. He went and high-fived the guy that threw it back. Well. And then he came back the next day. They booed him, obviously, missed the green, and then like put his hand to his ear, like trying to pump the crowd up.
Like, I think he's like a professional wrestler.
Yeah, but then we saw him come out of the parking lot in a Ford.
He's on his phone.
And he was on his phone, and he was hot. He was hostile behind the wheel.
Well, he almost mowed down an old.
He did. He was not. He was not.
He was not respecting his elders. I thought I was going to get my credential revoked.
Why is that? Oh God, I was so nervous after that shot. Was hit because Tron was directly behind the tee box, literally jumping for joy.
No, I wasn't even jumping for joy. He was just
reacting.
I
like
was
very
so
physically.
Shocked was a haunting that what I had just witnessed.
He just started bouncing up and down.
I couldn't contain myself.
I thought for sure that was going to be on TV.
So that about wraps Friday night. We were just totally wiped because we were getting
we got some sushi.
Well, we did get some sushi on Friday.
Sushi was good.
The goal, the main purpose
what
of the
was
trip
that roll
was to
call?
Do
the Oh My 16. God roll.
The Oh My God roll. That
so,
lit on fire.
The Oh My God roll, tin foil. You like twist some tin foil, and then they put a lighter underneath it. I called it the Kurt Schilling roll because it looked like a tinfoil hat. That was a good sushi place, though.
Would return.
Yeah. Who knew? Phoenix.
They didn't pay us, so we're not going
to
say the name.
Not good enough for me to leave a review, but I'd go back.
Got some sush and then woke up Saturday morning. We essentially came to see Saturday and kind of document it.
The Breakfast
Club. The whole experience, the Breakfast Club, from beginning to end. And we'll have something very shortly here that kind of illustrates that more visually. But we'd stay at a hotel, like basically walking distance. We come outside the hotel and we turn the corner and like you could – already start hearing it. It was 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah,
totally dark.
Maybe even before that. I mean, it was pitch black. And the Breakfast Club is the first year they've done this, I think. But guys have started lining up. The guys in the front of the line started lining up at 4. And there were probably 2,000 people there
at least.
Maybe
I would say more.
There were some fire safety issues there. if we're being honest,
people were lined just stacked up. And just screaming.
Just lined up in front of the fan interaction.
Yeah.
I don't think
there was an obstacle course.
I don't think there was any fire safety issues because they had a couple of massive fire trucks right there.
That's true. That's a fair point.
That Neil tagged.
People were singing the national anthem and just totally – there's beach balls flying and stuff in the line and – the media is just lining up on the inside, ready to capture the rush.
Shout out to the local news too.
Yeah, the local news was on this Johnny
news,
on the spot,
and they were. You know, I think the national media was zigging and they were zagging because they had some good.
It was
good
funny
locations.
Though to see kind of the state of local news, state of local media. They didn't really interview us; they just kind of screamed at us from across the street.
Where are you guys from?
Gotta be quick. Yeah,
and I think Todd yelled Duval.
My favorite part was they didn't let anybody in until 7 a.m. on the dot. And everybody's seen like the horribly awkward footage from the Masters when the gate opens and everybody does like the all hip
power walk.
Trying to get out to Amen Corner.
Race walk.
This was the exact opposite of that where they're like, all right, 7 a.m. Everybody run literally as fast as you fucking can to get to 16.
They did let them through and it was staggered. Yeah. So it was, I mean, shout out to the tournament for keeping things from becoming a
Thunderbirds
stampede.
First time. They know, they know what they're doing.
When we were reviewing the footage, it's like all these people running, just sprinting, and then you see like somebody crutching really quick.
Yeah, their crutches.
Somebody's in like one of those wheel
like like had knee surgery.
Yeah, yeah, had knee surgery. They're using like a you know, putting one foot on a wheelchair or whatever you want to call it, and trying to go by it with, as fast as possible. So we set up in different spots and set up in a tunnel. Neil's in the tunnel in the back end, just looking for receivers. You got t-shirts rolled up.
I was throwing Spider 2Y banana with a backside Venus. And then I threw a couple run pass options, the RPO.
The official line, I think Neil was 3-for-42 for 19 yards and 4 interceptions.
Come on, man.
He doesn't throw a catchable ball.
The timing was off.
His receiver,
anyone run a big route?
His receivers sucked.
They did. His receivers let him down.
I think, you know, the eye in the sky does not lie.
Peter King said he has happy feet.
We're going to roll back the footage. We're going to check it out.
We will. We're going to watch the tape later.
We're going to check the tape.
It's never as good as you think. It's never as bad as you think.
All right, a real quick break. Tron, we played a round of golf this week. First round of golf with the Rogue in the bag. I want to hear your review. What do you think?
Second round of the year?
Yeah.
Went really, really straight.
Like, you don't have your little wipey fade anymore, I don't think.
Like, yeah, like kind of. I was kind of taken aback.
How does it feel different?
Just for more forgiving.
Yeah,
I think it was. It seemed a little bit hotter.
It sounds different too.
It sounds better.
Were you excited about it for the Rogue, or were you pretty?
I was kind of, to be honest, not. Yeah, like I don't know. I felt like the Epic was kind of a big leap forward, and then the Rogue was all right. Whatever. Like, I'm not sure how much more they can improve upon it, and I was blown away.
Yes. Pretty impressed. It's a pretty easy transition. I thought it was going to... I had two of them in my bag for a second just to kind of ease into the transition, and yeah, I'm ready to move fully onto the Rogue. I'm surprised how many guys on tour we were out this week had the Rogue already in the bag as well. I don't even think I remember seeing anybody with the Epic in the bag.
I am just as excited about... Probably more excited about the fairway wood. Everybody says the fairway wood.
I know.
Wood is
I'm
like
ready for the fairway wood. So I haven't hit it yet. I'm so ready for that. The jailbreak is coming in the 3-wood. CallawayGolf.com for more. Callaway is the number one driver in golf. It is in stores this Friday, February 9th. Let's get back to the podcast. But the 16th hole was far enough away that like everyone runs, and then like we're kind of walking just to get there. And
how
people,
far of a run do you
people
think
are running out of breath. Like you get up to the first 17th hole, and they're like,
they're running out of breath like probably, an eighth of the way there.
They got out of breath at 18T. You know, you come around the corner.
It was probably 3/4 of a mile.
Yeah, people underestimate. They're not totally prepared for that.
Because I was out there. I was waiting on 16.
You could hear the rush just coming.
And I could hear people. And then I saw, like, Elmo and Big Bird.
Big Bird.
And Bert and Ernie. And the Teletubbies, like everybody, like all of a sudden I just see all these people, and then people started running over the tee box on 17, and like the marshals are freaking out. It was great.
So I mean, the first doors open at 7. The first tee time is at 10 o'clock. So there's legitimately
they're pushed back even.
Yeah, the first people to come through was like Ben Martin's group at about 11:30. So they were there 4.5 hours, and I don't think they start selling beer right away either. Like you kind of just sit there for a while, but. The first like half hour was nuts. People, as soon as it fills up, like the music starts, there's a DJ there just spinning.
DJ and, the ones and twos.
And NG Shu, Lil Murchie here, was just in charge of pumping up the entire crowd. And just people love free stuff.
What an absolute power trip for you there.
Free stuff.
Just manipulating the crowd.
Well, you know what? He figured, all right, you're not going to let me have a t-shirt cannon. I'm going to put my real cannon.
Totally.
Yeah, I got loose in the
Andrew
tunnel.
Luck.
Your completion percentage went way up.
It went way up out there.
He was throwing five, like just Hail Marys.
You just need to kind of get settled in.
Huh?
You just need to make some, you need one series to get settled in.
I know, man.
And then you had your feet under your good.
Can we go back to Friday? Those dudes from Minnesota that were just like, hey, Chris.
Oh, God. Yeah.
We had, Solly's got some fam Friday.
These guys from Minnesota, they were just like, they just kept calling you Chris.
They were chirping.
They were heckling. I was getting heckled.
Like, hey, Chris, I bet he misses this. $5.
Just
Chris.
Look, and
$5.
They had the high position. That's the thing. So you're under these bleachers, and it really feels like a baseball stadium. It's probably 10 to 12 foot up until into the stands, and people are just looking down on you from an elevated position, a la The Rock
and
the scene in the shower on Alcatraz. You
the cistern room. And
you know, and they come out, and they're you know, so you're kind of – you're outflanked a little bit, and – I think you got rattled a little bit there.
I got a little rattled. Yeah, you can't like respond
well,
either.
The other thing that we talked about too that kind of it shook me was you get out there. We had filled our backpack up with t-shirts. You know, we're stocked, but you get out there and there's 2,000-3,000 people in one section.
You feel the pressure.
And everybody is just clamoring for a shirt, and you get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like some old lady's telling you, you promised her a shirt on the last round.
You could be throwing out flaming bags of poop.
Yeah, and then I got the old guy asking for a double XL. I'm like, man, yeah. That's in the bottom of the bag. I can't get that for you right now.
I don't want to out any of you guys. Yeah, I was behind the camera. You guys were slinging shirts. One of you just blew through all of the shirts in about 30 seconds.
I'm raising my hand. That was, I did not handle it very well.
Chris was not good at telling people.
There's a lot
of
pressure.
Damn it. If you want it, here. Just,
you guys are going to.
Hey, they can see into my bag. They can see all the shirts.
Sai wasn't even throwing it. He was just handing them out.
Like, I didn't want to lose the front row. I was rattled about what happened Friday.
He didn't want to lose the locker room.
If I lose that front row, I'm going to get heckled again.
All right, guys. Everybody's going to see something on the video. It's me. I come up woefully short on a throw. There was not a rubber band around the t-shirt.
Tron got booed by it. I've never seen someone get booed by an entire stadium in person.
That's as live as the crowd got.
my guys didn't set me up for success.
Tron. Ejected him.
I was expecting a rubber banded t-shirt. And
you know what they call that? It's good content.
It was great content.
All right, so I will say this, though, too, and it goes back to the Charles Barkley thing in the airport. And so you're in there, and you have so many people yelling out, whether it's for t-shirts or just shouting out to NLU. Like, I don't understand like how Phil does it. Like when he walks by and everybody's just yelling his name, and he's just able to like acknowledge them and like give them what they're looking for.
I think it's just a gear that I don't know. It's just a gear you get into. And what's like, I think what's even weirder about it is just think about, you know, the one time that he doesn't react or he doesn't whatever.
It's fuck that guy.
Yeah, it's that guy going for the rest of his life. Oh, that guy's a dick.
Yeah.
Like, I screamed in his face one time. He didn't even give me anything. Like, oh, okay.
That was like Ricky today after the round. I mean, he stood there and signed for
everyone
like 40 minutes. Yeah. He hung out with, like, and that was actually relatively emotional, like the kid that passed away. Mm-hmm.
His family was there.
You know, like his family was there, and like Ricky spent 10 minutes with them after the round. Like Ricky had a really disappointing day,
yeah.
You know, and like just you couldn't tell one bit.
But watching those guys after the round go from like media hit to media hit to media hit to sign to like
Golf Channel, Sky, CBS, and just then
all the crap
stand up with the press.
To do it, that's what the guys that do it well, man, I have the utmost respect for. Because like you said, yeah, it's awkward. Like when people are just. Especially when you have like the free T-shirts.
Yeah, well, I'm just not used to being inside the ropes. Like, you know, I'm not on the pro-am circuit like these guys in here, and it's like it's a little overwhelming. I can only imagine if I actually like was good,
right.
Or somebody that it would be twice as bad or 10 times as bad.
But what is it about
people
free
are just
stuff?
Yelling? You're walking down the inside of the ropes, and people are just like yelling. Sometimes. No laying up stuff. Sometimes just because you're in there, like it's like,
whoa,
who's that?
This guy thinks he's sweet.
Yeah, like it's like I don't know what to do.
Well, I think so. That's maybe like a way to transition into kind of like the general vibe of this event because I've been here like quite a few times, like I said, and I guess where I've kind of settled on it is for one day, it's like as much fun as you can have.
Novelties are good.
It's awesome
every once in a while, you know.
But I've also been here on trips where I'm here for 7 days. And by like day 7, when someone's like, "Yo, what's your camera for? Yo, take my picture.
Where's this going?"
Yeah, I'm like, dude.
on my website.
Oh, maybe this isn't the best. Like, imagine playing the highest level of golf in the world at the same time as someone's doing that. It's just
some players looked a little
hard.
more rattled than I thought they would be. I think if you're playing this event, you should know exactly what you're signing up for.
Or you're Bubba and you're doing it for your sponsors.
This is true.
They've re-embraced him.
But
he's
like,
back.
Yeah, I don't know. Guys were getting really, I don't know. I just kind of always thought on like 16, you're used to people yelling it while you're putting and stuff. But like caddies were getting really pissed at like I saw like Tim Mickelson freaked out on a fan that like yelled bear down in Rahm's backstroke. He's not even his player anymore.
And he made it though.
He made the putt, put his
right
hand to his ear, looked right at the dude.
Yeah, can we talk about Rahm being just total sociopath?
Rahm,
I love it though, but I mean,
Rahm has got like runs
hot,
interesting temper like I've ever seen. He does not care if anyone around him hears him swear. Like he'll get right next to the crowd. He'll talk. He'll like some people are like trying to say something supportive to him, and he will like curse right back at the person. Like, you got this right. No, I don't.
But he just gets it out, man.
Yeah,
he just gets it out.
He doesn't care.
Releases the poison.
He does not care.
So we define
that leads us back.
Well,
to
okay. So So DJ's that, I don't even know what the name of that song is, but last night
it's called
Sally,
I Don't Care.
And DJ Sally, DJ and I were we went to the Bird's Nest for the Nelly concert. I went to take some notes on Nelly's hype man. You know, the way he's getting the crowd live.
I was laying in bed because this was like my Super Bowl was sleeping in a comfortable bed. I went to bed at like 8:30. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, Tron stayed behind. He was
no Freddy. He was feeling low energy.
No yet. Newborn, just
but
quiet
so Nelly opens for Zedd, and so all the Zedd heads are ready to rage. And Zedd mixes in that song at some point, and I stopped and I turned to DJ and I said, I think this is the official song of Arizona, or maybe this tournament.
I think the consensus
for me is it's the new money Kentucky Derby 2.0. maybe
it's a hard to describe vibe out there, and I think the way I kind of said it earlier was, you know, nothing makes me realize how stressed out I am all the time, like being around people like this that are just couldn't be more in the moment, and the one thing their like lasting concern is like, dude, what time are like should we get margaritas tomorrow? And it's just like it's crazy. Like I'm envious of the amount of laid backness that goes on. I think there's a reason that
like the recession hits Phoenix harder than anywhere else.
Yeah, not a lot of long range planning going on, I don't think. And it's hard to describe, and I'm not saying it's bad or good or anything.
That was a big takeaway for me. Was like,
it's weird. It's unique.
How inebriated everybody was yesterday, and just how many people were in a confined area, and like there weren't really any fights. Everybody was pretty docile.
There was one, but like at
the Players or like anywhere else, like you would have just
right.
like frat bros just going at it, and that just really wasn't there wasn't a whole lot of testosterone or
right.
like
it wasn't like a competition
aggressiveness yeah.
I actually
there.
Heard in on the way out today I took a quick shuttle back here, and the guy driving said that the security is like 10 times more than they had last year. Like they were able to drive to the front of the gate this year. They had to drop people off like half a mile away.
Was this when the cop brought you back, or was this a different time?
No, this was later when I changed outfits and went back in disguise with the shirts in my
backpack. But with a bunch of shirts.
With a bunch of shirts anyway. I had to wait till the heat was off.
But for 200,000 people to be there, I think we were talking to somebody after the round yesterday, and they said there was 20, or I was talking to somebody today, they said there was 26 incidences the entire day yesterday, where like they had to escalate something, which was... For 200,000 people being a spot, like that's
pretty good.
That's a very
low. So the driver said that it was this year's the first year they've had metal detectors. Like last year, it was just dudes with wands, like kind of going through the motions.
Hey, everyone, be cool.
Hey, man, like guys, you check doing the YMCA or something with the wands. Like they're not doing much. You can pretty much bring, like, seem like whatever, but they tighten things up this year.
It's a feat of logistics.
Yeah,
it
I'm
really
impressed
is.
By that.
Totally.
I'm impressed that people I am impressed that quick, I didn't see anything get, like, you know. Very hostile towards the end of the day when it became The Walking Dead.
Everybody was just super relaxed and there you go. There you go.
But I mean, it begs the question. We were talking about this earlier. It's like, all right, if you're a golf fan, I feel like it's kind of a destination golf tournament for people to go to. Like, oh, you've never, like, people were lighting me up. You've never been to Waste Management? It's like, would you guys, as golf fans, like, make the trip here? Like,
we're fortunate enough that
the purpose of us being here was like we had unbelievable access, and like our day was spent documenting what this is all going to be like. So we didn't really experience it from. Like the grandstands and stuff. So would you guys want to do like Saturday attending the Phoenix Open?
If I was playing golf personally, maybe like the day before or the day after, and it was part of a larger trip, I think so. I would have a tough time with the lines though. So it would be interesting for me to see if I would want to like walk the rest of the course. I just think I saw like the lines for beer, the lines just to get into the 16.
You got
to
do it.
I don't like lines. Yeah. So I, you know,
or if you have access to,
yeah. So I don't want to sit here and be like, oh man, you can't miss this tourney.
Right. How about the greenskeeper?
How about it?
I mean, you mean the hospitality? Yeah. Tent? The hospitality tent was legit.
I mean, you would think it was just for agronomists and stuff, but it was actually
was the biggest hospitality I've ever seen.
Crazy.
Like,
it looked like a pool party in Vegas.
So we talked to
sponsored by Hakkasan, I guess.
Yeah. Right? We talked to Carlos.
Carlos Danger.
Carlos Danger.
The head Thunderbird.
Chairman Carlos. Chairman of the Thunderbirds.
Super competitive from year to year.
Yeah. Well, here, I don't want to change topics too fast. I think that's an interesting question about, like, would you come here or not? And it's a hard one. Like you said, Todd, I mean, it's like, it's worth seeing once for sure, but I don't know. I'm kind of stuck in the middle on, I would feel bad telling the wrong person to come on Saturday.
Well, maybe that's,
and having them show up.
We see a,
like,
ton of bachelor
this.
Parties.
Yeah. And if you're, if that's probably what you're looking reason. To do, like, you will have an awesome time. But if you're looking to watch golf, and granted, I mean, you can go to the other side of the golf course and you can, it's a normal golf.
I think Thursday, Friday, there, you can watch a lot of golf too.
But Saturday is, I mean, it's unlike anything else.
Okay. So there. Question off of that then for you guys, I didn't, cause I was busy with the Scottsdale PD. What was your favorite hole outside of 16?
17.
17 is the bike.
Well, okay. That's a good point. But 17 starting to look a lot like 16.
It is. So they're trying, I feel like they're at least looking like they're trying to expand the 16, like overflow the 16th into the 17th.
The Cove and the Bay.
Yeah. They've got like two big seating areas now, and it's like turning into, it's not the, not never going to be the same setup, but like it's just trying to spread. Like, you can only fit so many people on 16, and it is totally full 100% of the time.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you know what though? The corporate boxes were not totally full. They were actually, I thought they were more full today.
They were full
than they
once
were
the play
yesterday.
Started. They just, people don't have to line up early to get
that
there.
That was the one thing that was missing from 10 years ago to now, was there was chance, or there were chance, like, corporate sucks. Corporate sucks. And there was none of that this year. There was no rivalry between.
They would just like point out, like, yeah, green just, shirt, green shirt. And the guy would turn around, you have
just,
to chug your
they
beer.
They just peer pressure guys in the upper deck into chugging.
It was kind of a bipartisan arrangement out there. People were working together.
America's divided no
well,
longer.
No, but you've got it back behind the tee, and then on the right side up by the tee, it's like very shady and quiet. It's like it feels like ancient Rome. It's like that's where the senators are sitting. They're looking down. They're looking down on the yeoman, down it, just baking in the sun. I gave this one dude like a, it's just this huge gart, a double XL tank, and he threw it on immediately. And I think he lasted in it for like 30 minutes before he was just getting.
He was baked.
He was getting baked, so he had to take it off and put his shirt back on. But like they're. Very different vibe between the two sides of the Coliseum.
See, I think I would want to go. I'd want to see it, like, but I would go to drink beer to be
totally
go with your buddies
and like a Kentucky Derby. Like, I don't go to the Kentucky Derby to watch the horse race. And there are so many.
You
want
to watch horse racing? You go to Keeneland.
Sure. But like, you go, like, when we, the little time we spent in the hospitality, I was like, you kind of lose your desire to watch golf. Like, it kind of just drifts away. And some of those like expo areas, or that one fan zone area, was just like overflowing with people. It's like impossible to describe how many people there were.
It's more like a music festival.
Yeah, and those exactly. It's just a huge social event. I'm not gonna lie. I thought, you know, with what I heard on the hype going in, I was expecting more artificial mounding than we saw. I think
more false fronts.
More false fronts. I think minimalism is back.
I don't know.
There were some
fun bags out there that served no purpose.
There was some,
but guys, to make a statement. I'm gonna sit this one out.
Yeah, I'm gonna conscientiously object.
There's no more to say other than I was expecting, only because of what people have said. Gary McCord has said this on the broadcast before. This is a safe topic to discuss, but. I don't know. I was expecting more on that front. I'm not disappointed. I was impressed. So,
you were unimpressed.
No. I just thought it was going to be like an absolute mob of fake breasts, which it was not.
I saw some false fronts, but I would say I saw some classy ladies dressed up in the morning, but by the Saturday afternoon,
it looks like The Walking Dead.
It's a zombie fest, and a lot of people that look, women they're dolled up and they look nice and. Then by the end of the day, long faces and little, like, the makeup starts to smear a little bit, and there's a hill there on 18 where it gets a little steep.
There was some documented
lot. I will say this about the fast shoot: a lot of rompers. Rompers seem to be very, very in.
Yeah,
I didn't see too many high heels.
I saw a lot of high heels.
I saw quite a few.
A few high heels.
Saw some people trying to navigate some hills
in high heels and rompers.
Yeah.
So that would be another reason if you wanted to come to the tournament. There, it is, I would say it's phenomenal people watching.
Yeah, that's true.
Right,
that's
like there's a lot going on. There's a lot like favorite jersey, big jersey tourney. So favorite jersey.
I was so pissed I didn't wear my Jags Andre Rison jersey.
Well, shout out to Randy Moss. He
was all over the place.
He got nominated.
Yeah,
or got inducted, or not inducted, but he's set to be inducted into the Hall of Fame as of yesterday. Lot big Minnesota contingent out here.
Totally,
definitely
like, huge.
And there was a ton of kind of cliques of like hockey team people.
Hockey
there was
jerseys.
A bunch of Edmonton Oilers
a lot
people.
Of hockey jerseys.
The Happy Gilmore.
The Happy Gilmore
jersey, was, pretty
jersey
good.
Was my favorite for sure.
I think Brock Lesnar
or the Randall Cunningham Eagles jersey. That guy was like a stalwart in the stands.
The Lesnar 69 Vikings jersey I think was my favorite.
Very strong.
Shane Falco jersey.
I didn't
today.
See that one.
That was fantastic. That
there was a whole group like the whole starting line of. The Mighty Ducks was
yeah,
out there as
I saw,
well.
I saw the cat. I saw Conway out there.
Yeah,
you shouted him out in the hallway. It's just going, Charlie Conway.
I did.
Tried to hit him with a shovel pass.
You called him a cake eater. Or no, that was Adam Banks.
That was Adam Banks, Banks. Yeah. He tried to play the varsity.
Just aside nice. From the jerseys, what was the best outfit we saw? We saw Big Bird. We unmasked Big Bird, by
we
the way.
Did.
Big Bird
we have that there. Footage that may have to stay in the archives.
Yeah. I liked the Teletubbies. We're good. I like the big squad wearing DeKalb Corn t-shirts. That spoke to my heart.
Actually, my favorite thing that I saw a dude today with an alligator strapped to his back. Like an inflatable alligator. He walked around with it like that all day long.
One thing you mentioned the greenskeeper, the hospitality. One thing we didn't mention on Saturday was the cheer that the greenskeeping crew got. One,
that was cool.
The mower of the green. So, like, he gets on his mower and, like, rides on it sideways and is mowing, or he's rolling the green, and he rides it. Like, the crowd, like, builds all the way as he gets to the edge and then, like, erupts when he gets to the edge.
That was
and
cool.
Builds as he goes back the other way. The guy plays it totally cool.
It was like the Super Bowl of agronomy.
Yes, and then they bring in the guy to cut the hole. I missed this. Somebody take me
great.
There.
So, I mean, we've all seen a hole get cut where you kind of got to do some downward thrusts, to really get the tool going, and every time he would bottom out this tool, people would just cheer. And then when he finally cut it, I mean, they just went nuts. Like he knew it. He's playing into it and hamming it up.
They're doing push-ups.
They're doing yeah, exactly. It was,
and the guy runs down with the flag.
Yeah, he ran from the tee box to the holding both an American flag and the pin flag.
It's as much fun as you can like. Safely have in golf. Like
well,
I think it's done really well. Like of course you could do it. Like more ridiculous.
Yeah, you could have a t-shirt cannon.
Again, there's a lot of people looking at
you mad, bro?
After the safety of this thing, and there's a ton of alcohol there. Like it's the most fun you could
possibly
have.
I was surprised they started selling beer like right away when it was, like it's 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
I think which was
no, they I don't think they did.
I saw a bunch of Miller Lite cans.
They had a vendor going through. I've never seen the vendor going through I don't think they do that during play. Maybe they do, but
it's the weird part about. Kind of the whole Breakfast Club situation. So the reason they called it the Breakfast Club was for the first time ever they were literally throwing cases of water and breakfast burritos up to just
3,700.
3,700 breakfast burritos.
Delicious.
Chairman,
they were
burritos.
Really good.
Chairman Carlos.
Carlos
it's a,
Danger
it's
gave
a Thunderbird.
Which, by the way, another Thunderbird owns the burrito shop.
Yeah. It's like vertical integration here, man.
But they've never done the breakfast thing before. So just keeping guys hydrated and full and... Everything was cool. The thing that's kind of weird about it, and I'm curious what you guys think, it's almost like the anticipation for people showing up was kind of better than, you know, when like Ben Martin comes through and like
well, there's a lull after the first hour. There's a
yeah, and then it just kind of
and then Neil throws t-shirts.
Yeah,
he keeps the people going. Well, it's it was 123 yard wedge.
By the way, the pin today on Sunday was much better than the pin yesterday. Like I think that's a mistake to make it as short and as tucked over that bunker.
Yeah.
Put it back left and let guys kind of swing away. Like, I mean, Kuchar almost aced it today, which was sick.
Right before he got an FCC violation on the 17th hole.
Yeah.
Well, first ever captured. He said, what a dickhead.
I would say.
I'm writing into
FCC. Golly, Matt.
I got a Kuchar take.
I want CBS.
And I
want to
hear what Tron
fine.
Has to say about it.
We're
I think
coverage gap.
Kuchar may be the next in line for the throne of the People's Champ. I mean, people love the guy.
They do.
They cheer him.
They're not booing.
They're not booing.
They cheer him how?
They're cooching. Not as they cheered Commodus. That's how they cheer Bubba and Polk.
You don't have to sell me, man. Kuchar, I'm Team Kuchar.
Oh, man, the flip-flopper Tron over here.
Some guy yelled like, Kuchar, those Skechers look really comfortable.
Somebody. That was you.
No way.
He didn't deny it.
But that was a takeaway for me, was seeing Kuch in person and seeing the way that the crowd went. They went nuts for the big homie.
We were lucky enough James not Comey. To be suffering through watching this on television. Can we talk about the 1 hour coverage gap on Saturday afternoon? I love it. I think the only way this is gonna get better is it, we got it's got to be
inside the ropes. Sally loves it.
Sally's
got his access. So he's happy about it.
Pissed that the basketball game actually ended on time.
Yeah, I want it blown up. I want it to go so poorly that something has to change. Now Sunday comes along. Apparently the CBS broadcast started on time on Golf Channel
3:02 or something.
Yeah. How has this been possible the entire time, and we're only now doing this for the first time?
I think it's just been people just rattling cages. I don't know.
Like, I think honestly, it's all graphics.
People
related.
Were so – I've never seen people that mad. It was 46-minute delay or something yesterday, 49-minute on Saturday. I've never seen the social media reaction that strong.
Especially for a tournament where, like, there's a 16th hole, so
– yeah, it's such a spectacle.
Yeah, you want to see as many groups come through there as possible, and, like –
guys,
you missed five groups in 45 minutes.
Let's not crown their asses just yet. I mean, we are in Arizona, the land of Dennis King. Or Dennis Green. You know, crown their asses, you can crown them. But let's not let them off the hook, okay?
See what happens this week. There's a chance.
Pebble this week.
We were talking about it. There's a chance. A lot has to fall the right way. There's a chance that Rory could be leading Pebble and playing 7, 8, 9 during the blackout. This week
it's gonna have like the 79 like always gets blacked out.
Is that how it works though normally on Sunday where the leader
time.
Always coming through the best holes on the golf course
best in the world. But that's kind of still a thing I don't know if I put totally on I can't
and then they come back and we have a CBS sports desk and then they flip it right back to commercial because they have to make up for lost time.
Oh, then they hit you with a moment ago putt
and then they go back to commercial again.
It's a tap in from Carlton.
Because that's the other problem. Even if
to tap in on 17 from Carlton.
Or like Kenny G.
Or Ray Romano. Yeah. Ray Romano's shanking one in on 18.
This is the CBS when they come back from the from the coverage gap.
That should be the lead in for Nance.
But again, let's clarify that I don't think that's a CBS problem other than like
it's a structural like yeah
but only thing is like maybe you move the college basketball game up half an hour to not run them up against each other.
You know what, like maybe CBS and Golf Channel, you guys work together and figure out a graphics package that both of you guys can use.
That'd be wonderful. I'm sure there's more to it than we don't know, but and I know that you can go to PGA Tour Live and stream it. I know you can go to CBS.com. But it's amazing how often that's not a realistic thing. I'm not everyone's at home on Wi-Fi and
you're
able to stream
over,
on their phone.
You're, yeah.
Like we were at a bar the other day after we finished a round of golf, and like the coverage gap came on while we were at a bar, and we're like, "Shit, what do we?"
It's just friction, man. It's
just
like
get the bar
easy.
To airplay their phone to their TV.
Exactly. It's like play. Like,
it's
play
tough enough to turn on the golf if you get anybody to turn on the golf anyway.
Right.
So something else though too is like. Even if, let's say, all right, so the broadcast is 45 minutes shorter than it would have been otherwise, and yet they still have to play the same number of commercials that they would during that larger block of time, but they have to squeeze them into a block of time that's 45 minutes.
But, like, how does waste management put out, like, what is their reaction to that? Like, the term that they sponsor, they want their 3 hours coverage, and it basically gets cut by 30%. Like, how does that go over? I don't understand that. I don't know.
I think one of the ways they make up for it is, like, if you notice the replays that they do the following year on Golf Channel are tournaments that got shortchanged by the coverage gap, they do a replay. Like, instead of playing, you know, say the best tournament in the history of that event, like, you know, like on Tuesday night, they'll do, instead of doing let's say the 2000 Pebble, they'll do the 2016 Pebble or 2017 Pebble because they got shortchanged and they'll show
this. Is this a tinfoil hat theory or is this true?
No, this is true.
Wow.
Yeah. This is straight from the horse's mouth.
All right, what's the best shot we saw this week?
Kuchar
almost acing 16.
Shank on 16.
That was
ooh, I don't know. Who went long yesterday? Shoffley?
On Friday. Yes.
On Friday?
Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, that was ridiculous too.
I love watching guys tee off on 17. All the different shots.
I was going to say
the driver,
the vantage point from behind the tee on 17, and watching those guys hit like high cuts or like rope a draw in, like into Todd's favorite golf jargon, the speed slot, coming off the bunker onto 17. Speed slot.
There's so much strategy that goes into that hole, especially depending where the pin is. It's an easy hole. Guys make a ton of birdies there, but there's trouble waiting if you go left, and you got to, if the pin's on the right, you have to play further left, or else you kind of get short sighted. And there's just so much.
Big
so
Dick
much.
Rick went in the water again this year.
He did on 17 again on Sunday.
I will say one of the best shots I saw all week was Chez hit the like his tee shot on 17 today. It was super solid, and then for him to make that putt to force a playoff, that was mega stones.
Chez was awesome. Chez Michael Michaels.
This is his home you know, home event and all that stuff.
We haven't talked much.
What's your Yelp review of Shea Revay?
Is it Shea or Chez?
It's Chez.
Shea Michael Michaels.
Chez, all right, Neil, I think you had a good.
Yeah, we were standing on 16 today, and I turned to Todd and I said, Chez reminds me a little bit of the guy in high school football that like plays like backup center and like works real hard, like grinds in the weight room. But
kind of a Rudy type.
Yeah, a little bit of a Rudy type, but just kind of like, you know, he's a.
I think Rudy played.
Kinetics are working against him a little
bit.
Work. He's a little dumpy, man. Like, I don't
know. He's like 5'10", 220.
Once a year, the coach is like, you know what, guys? I'd kill to have 11 Chez Reavies on this team.
Exactly. Yes.
That's and everyone's kind of like, would you coach? Yeah. Like, okay.
This
like,
guy's heart's bigger than everybody else's put together.
Yeah, the guy's going to win the Tough Nut Award at the end of the season.
He was stones pretty much most of the day. He had a bad shot on 16. I mean, he probably would have won the tournament if he doesn't hit it.
He laid up on 15, too.
He did lay up on 15.
That was a little weak.
I don't know if he has that firepower. He didn't have that.
How long was that hole? 570?
Standing next to 15 green and the thought of hitting it in two, like, marveled us for quite a while. That's just like not like lengthwise, just hitting a three wood into
you got trouble on both,
green with
both
trouble
sides.
Everywhere.
Yeah, trouble is everywhere.
It's an island.
It is an island, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Woodland. We didn't talk much Woodland. Somebody tweeted it.
Won the tournament.
Tweeted today and said he's Koepka light. I would say he's the original Koepka.
Yeah. He was a favorite. Maybe now forgotten son of NLU.
Neil turns to me and he goes, "God, Woodland's huge." I was like, "No, dude, he's only like 6 foot, but he looks huge.
He's a commanding presence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he walks around like he's got just a python.
Yeah. Some people were saying that like they don't like him.
Jesus, John.
He's got that strut, man.
Well, he's the starting running back for the NLU football team.
Was he tailback or fullback?
He was tailback.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was like our first and second round back.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about the NLU football team.
Yeah, we're going to redo it later this year.
But he like
coming soon.
Bryson made the team.
People were saying that they don't like him, or like he's vanilla and like bad personality. I'm like that guy was like the nicest guy ever.
He gets along with everybody out there.
Hey, what's up, man? And I've never even like met him. So like I asked his agent once. I was like, you know, do I know Gary? He's like, no, he's just like that with everyone. Like he just like people walk by on the street. And he's like, yeah, what's going on, man? He's like the nicest guy you can.
So I feel like he's like Koepka without all the like the I'm an athlete stuff, and it's like no, like he's actually an athlete.
He just does it.
He's supposed to be like probably the best basketball player. I know DJ can dunk, but so Gary Woodland. But
can we get like a one-on-one DJ versus?
Oh,
versus
all
Woodland?
The content.
I don't think it'd be even close.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I think it's
Woodland
Andrew Loop versus
is Loop a player?
Woodland. Yeah, I think those are your two
best
players.
Literally played in college.
Right.
I know. I'm aware. Scott Stallings, watched quite a bit of him this week. He's like straddling that line between like low key thick and absolutely yoked.
Yeah, I think he's trending towards the latter.
Yeah, just gotta stay off the PEDs.
I've been talking to some guys about. They're like, God, just a couple players.
He
were talking
was
kind of
built like a brick shit house.
They're like, God, I've been following his Instagrams, man. All he does is just CrossFit all the time. Like, oh, sick.
All right, what else are we missing?
Well, I would like to induct a few people into the Opus Dei Society.
I know this is going to be hard to believe, but you might need to explain this one a little bit.
So we were out there, and we were on – it was Friday, and we were on 16. And I think it – some dudes just come through, and you notice it in person because you don't really see much on camera. Some guys just just lash themselves. And so any fans out there of the Dan Brown series, Da Vinci Code being one of the books, may remember Opus Dei as the brotherhood or the priest that inflicts self-wounds.
Self-flagellating monks.
Yeah, as penance for it, for things they've done wrong. I think there's a few guys on tour that are definitely members of Opus Dei. I'd say I saw a new inductee, Bo Hostler, coming off of 15.
Shout out Tron.
After a three-putt.
Tron predicted a big week for
Bo Hostler.
Just
muttering.
He kind of spit the bit a little bit today. But
muttering incoherently to himself and just
yeah. Rahm's on the team.
Rahm's the captain of
this
team.
Yeah. DeChambeau's definitely out there. Bubba probably is the... If he's not the chairman of the Butthurt Nation, he's definitely like the pope of the Opus Dei community.
Rahm is going to have a all-time meltdown at some point.
Yeah, Rahm might be the president of the Butthurt Nation.
He's so Spanish.
JT might be an Opus Dei.
You know what? No, I don't think JT's as much self-flagellating as, like, we saw him on 18T today, and I'm like, oh my God, his body language is awful. I'm like, he must be having a terrible day. He was 4 or 5 under.
Maybe it's just expectations.
Do I have regrets about hitting 59 watch 6 holes in?
First person to ever shoot in the 70s on 59.
No, so I pushed you into that.
Yeah, we
pushed you to the
edge. No, I am. My hands are clean.
He needed DJ 6 birdies.
I totally pushed the button.
12 holes left.
Irresponsible.
2 par 5s and easy pins on 16 and 17. I think that was time to press it.
Stand by it.
He might be the first guy in history.
To shoot par.
To be put on 59 watch and shoot in the 70s.
We ran into Emiliano Grillo at the Bird's Nest during the Nelly portion. And he just comes up to me and goes, never do that again. I was like, what? 59 watch after 6 holes? It's like, all right, that's a fair call out. But
I got one more take to kind of lay in here. I think Nelly might be past his prime.
Yeah. Nelly was, to say it nicely, a little pitchy dog. Yeah.
Not lip syncing though.
Were the same?
He was
definitely
not
lip syncing.
So were the rest of the Saint Lunatics there?
No, he had one hype man.
Yeah,
he had one hype man getting the crowd lit, a la NG Shoe out there on 16. So I was like, "Yo, that's my homie up there."
Yeah.
I was taking notes, but yeah. But then Zed came on, very talented guy. We just. You know,
where's Zed from?
Germany. He's like Russian German.
Yeah, so he's German. He's excellent pianist and was a metal drummer for a long time.
Respect.
Yeah, he's a good musician. But
you learn all this on that Delta Airlines.
I did on Delta Airlines documentary. So I'm in with Zed.
Before
they stole
DJ's camera.
You look out into the crowd and see these people are just going buck wild. In a similar vein, when he's mixing this song in. And I, you know, it's just, you know, I think it depends on the state of mind that you're in.
If we're talking about like nicknames and such, you're talking about the Opus Dei Society. I think Martin Laird, his new nickname's Kirkland Signature, K-Sig. Because he's like the Kirkland Signature version of Justin Rose.
That's fair.
Solid take.
That's tough, but fair.
And I'm not even saying that's a bad thing. I think
no, totally.
Orlando guys.
Yeah.
You know, similar swing, similar builds.
No, I like that.
He's won, what, 4 times on tour?
Sounds right.
He's had a low-key,
person than you think he
would. Low-key, really good career. Yeah. Wears terrible sunglasses.
Actually, it's working for me.
Yeah, it holds up quite a few levels.
Yeah. We should mention at this point, The Refuge. We got a new part of our website. If you guys haven't seen it yet, swing by. We created a discussion group / message board called The Refuge. Big first week. A lot going on there. We're going to work on some organizational tactics of it, but appreciate everyone that's come by and leave some comments. And
Refuge is a little unorganized.
It's a bit unorganized.
There's just cots all over
the
place.
We're working on it. It's under construction.
I recommend spending a couple days just reading and then chime in.
And you know what? Be very discerning. If you want to start a topic, think twice, think 3 times. We don't need any more topics.
Is everyone benefiting from the start of this topic? That's a good question to ask yourself.
And we probably need some interns to help moderate it.
Yeah. If people want to be moderators, let us know.
Yeah.
Anything else we're missing here?
Red Eye tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time to head to the airport.
And look out for a little hype video coming your way.
Sizzle.
To add a little visual to this breakdown.
To be watched in conjunction with this, listening to this podcast. So,
by the way, shout out. I think Woodland, the last 5 years, he's finished between 40th and 55th in the world ranking. This brings him up to 26th in the world ranking. I think it's time for Woodland to kind of
buck his head.
Start bucking his head a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Show up big on a major
Sunday. Hopefully more to come there.
To be discussed more in the future, I'm willing to throw out Xander Schauffele for a likely Ryder Cup spot.
Stud.
Ooh.
Yeah. Guy moves it.
Played with Phil all 4 days.
Lucky guy.
How about that?
Yeah. All right, let's wrap it at that. We're going to JT here is Justin Timberlake is going nuts here on the halftime show. We're going to get to watch the Super Bowl.
Solly wants to have him on the podcast.
Hop on a red eye. Yeah, we're gonna work on that. But on that note, DJ Pi, why don't you play us out, and we'll see you guys again soon.
To play us out? I don't know what that means, to play us out. We'll do it live. Crack on.